The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Fesoita daf Yod Zayin, and we have 15 lines from the bottom of daf Tez Zayin Omid Beis. So yesterday we were discussing the halachas of Hashkos Mei Soita, specifically the fact that the Kohen would put Mayim and Ofar into a cup. And of course, they were going to use that mayim and offer to be moichik, the Shem Hashem. More about that in today's daf. The woman would drink it. If she was tahar, everything would be fine. And if she was tameh, then of course she would die. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. If you look in the pasuk says, V'lokach ha-koyim mayim kedoshim b'klicheres. The koyim should take mayim kedoshim, put it into a klicheres, meaning put the water into this earthenware kli, u'mina ofer ashiyeh b'karkin ha-mishkon yikach ha-koyim v'nasan ala mayim. Then he should take offer from the karka mishkon, what exactly that means, we saw yesterday, and he should put it into the water. So it sounds like that the way to do it, if you can follow the steps, is first put water in the klicheres, and then afterwards the koyin takes the offer and puts it into the water. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, hiktim offer l'mayim. What if he did it in the reverse? What if the koyin first put the offer in the klicheres, and afterwards he put the mayim in the klicheres? Possible. Reb Shimon, machsher. Reb Shimon says it's kosher. My time to Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon hold it's kosher? If you look in the pasuk, it seems like first put the water inside, and afterwards you should put the offer in. So why does Reb Shimon say that the Seder is not ma'akev, and even if you first put the offer, then put the mayim, it's going to be kosher, dechsiv, because the pasuk says, by the para aduma, v'lokchu latame, me offer sreifas hachatos, that they took offer from this burnt chatos. V'tanya, we learned to the Bryce, Reb Shimon, v'chi offeru, the para aduma, when they took its afer. Was it afer? Bali afer. It was ashes. It wasn't afer. Says the Gemara, Shina kasa b'mashmois. Reb Shimon said that the reason the Torah changed the word from afer to afer was lodun heimenu gzeru shava, to teach me gzeru shava. Nemar kan, it says over here, afer. V'nemar lahalon, afer. Where's the kanan lahalon? It says by soita afer. And it says by paraduma afer. Ma lahalon, just like by soita. Afer al gabi mayim. The Torah says first put water in the klicheres and afterwards put afer. Afkan, afer al gabi mayim. So too, regarding the paraduma, first you should put the mayim and afterwards you should put the afer. However, if Shimon continued and said, Ma kan, hiktim afer lamayim kosher, just like by the paradumo, if you would first put the offer and then put the mayim, it would be kosher. Aflalon, so do by soita. Hiktim offer lamayim, if you first put the offer and then put the mayim, although it's reversed from the way the Torah says you should do it, kosher, it's going to be kosher. So the reason Rav Shimon says if you put the offer and then the mayim, it's going to be kosher, is he learns it from Gzeirah Shavar, offer from paradumo. V'hasaminol, and how do you know by paradumo that if you put the offer first and then the mayim, it's going to be kosher? Says the Gemara, Trei Kroiksivi. Because if you look in the parasha of Parah Aduma, there are two psukim. In fact, it's one pasuk, and the Gemara is being medayek the beginning to the end of the pasuk. Siv, it says, Olav, v'lokchu latome me'afar sreifas achatos, you should take the efer of the Parah Aduma, v'nosan olav mayim, put water on top of it, El Kelly, into the kli. So says the Gemara. From the fact that it says olav, it sounds like alma efer bereisha. The Nosan Olav Mayim. Take the Afar Srefas Aparo, put water on top of it. So it sounds like first the Afar, or the Afar, and then afterwards you should put the water. Fix it, but the Pasuk also says Mayim Chayim El Keli, Alma Mayim Beresh. It sounds like the Mayim is directly inside the Kli. There's nothing separating the Mayim and the Kli, meaning first the Mayim, and then afterwards the Afar, because if the Afar would go before the water, then it wouldn't be Mayim Chayim El Keli. The Mayim would be on top of the Afar, which would be on top of the Keli. So Alma Mayim Beresh. Okay, so how do you reconcile this apparent contradiction, literally from one word to the next word in the Pasuk? Must be rotzazen noisen. You have an option. You could do either one. Either way, you see from the Efer Paradumo that it doesn't have to be first mayim and then offer. It could be first offer and then mayim. So too, say Rishava offer from Saita, that although it says in the Torah first put mayim and then put offer, v'di'evit Reb Shimon says, learn from the Paradumo that the reverse would work as well. V'rabbonon. How did the Rabbonon understand that pasuk? Meaning the Gemara assumes that the Rabbonon aren't arguing with the premise of the Gezer Shava, but it's more that the reason it's possible if you put first the offer, then the mayim by saita, is because by paradum itself it's going to be possible. If you put first the offer or the Efer, and then afterwards the Mayim. Why is that so? Why don't they agree with Reb Shimon's Shtikl Torah that it says V'nasan Olav Mayim Chaim El Keli, which seems to suggest Rotzo Zen Noisein, says the Gemara of Rabbanan El Kli Dafka. They thought that the end of the pasuk that says Mayim Chaim El Keli is Dafka, that the Mayim has to be directly in the Kli. Meaning you can't put the offer first. Olav, doesn't it say Olav? La Arvan. That just means you're supposed to mix it. And when you mix it, inevitably the water is going to be on top of the offer, and the offer is going to be on top of the water. So Olav is not suggesting the seder of how you're supposed to put it in the kli. The way you put it in the kli is mayim chayim al kli, and then afterwards, on top of that, you put the offer. But then you mix it up, and by mixing it up, you can have water on top, water on the bottom. That's all offer. That's all Olav means. But as far as the seder, paraduma is supposed to be first mayim and then offer, exactly the way it is seita, and therefore you don't have Xer Shabbat to teach me that it works in the reverse as well. Freik the Gemara veima Olav dafka. How do you know that? Maybe Olav is dafka, and the part of the pasuk that's dafka is first put the offer, and then afterwards put the mayim. And El Kli, what then is El Kli teaching me? Shetehei chiyusam bekli. I'll give you another joshua for El Kli. That maybe it means that the keli that had in it the offer, and that's ultimately going to have it at the mayim, has to be put into the water directly, meaning you can't use a kli sheni. You can't take a kli, put the mayim chayim in it, and then pour from that kli into this kli. But chiyusam bekli, it has to all happen in the same keli. You have to take the water in the same kli where ultimately the water and the efer, the paraduma, is going to be. So maybe that's what the drasha is, and maybe Olav is the ikur drasha, so that you do have a basis for Xeris Shavu, that although the pshutei shel mikra in the parasha Saita is first the mayim and then the offer, could be in the reverse order, it's going to work as well, says the Gemara, no, because ma matzinu b'chal makoy machshel amaylo, afka machshel amaylo. The Rabbanon could have said that Olav is dafka, they could have said mayim chayim al kli is dafka. It makes more sense to say mayim chayim al kli is dafka, because there's precedence for the machshel, the thing that makes the water work, to be on top. What's the precedence? Saita, that's the pasha reading in the parasha of Saita. First put the water, and afterwards put the offer. Rashi says there's additional precedence for that with the Dam Tzipra of the Metzora. The Dam Tzipra of the Metzora, first the water was in the Kli, and then afterwards they put the Dam Tzipra. So you see, the thing that's Machshir, the Mayim, is always the thing that went second. So it makes sense that that's the way you should read the Parasha of Paraduma. Thus, you don't have this outlier example in Paraduma where first the Efer and then the Mayim, and therefore Reb Shimon's Gzeir Shava, as it relates to this halacha, falls by the wayside. Zok de Mishnah Vayta. So we now turn our attention from the kais that had in it the mayim and the offer to what we're going to do with the kais. So the first thing that we're going to do with the kais, the first thing the kohen did with the kais, is he was moichek a certain parasha in the Torah. And this is discussed somewhat at length in the Torah, and the Mishnah right away gets into the psukim. So without seeing the psukim in front of you, actually it's on the side of the Gemara, there has to be some familiarity with these psukim. So the pasuk says, "V'hemet ha-kohen is ha-ishu l'fnei Hashem." So where are we in the process right now? The kohen has the woman standing lifnei Hashem, that's Shar Niknar. Upores Reisha Isha, he uncovers her here. V'nasan al kapel es minchas azikor minchas knoisi. She's holding the carbon mincha. Why is she holding the carbon mincha? K'dei liyaga. This is all part of the interrogation process. Ubiyada koyin yu me amorim hamorin. The koyin is holding this mayim, this water that has in it a mixture of mayim from the kiyar, how much mayim? Chatzi lug, revias lug. And it has in it offer that came from this tavla shal shayish. The kohen is holding that. The shbiya oisa kohen. Now the kohen makes the woman take an oath. Now this is a real shvua, and there's certain dinim in Hilchos Shvua that I learned out from this shvua, this oath that the woman is going to take. But more about that on a different day. The point of the shvua is that the woman is going to take upon herself. She's willing to accept any consequences that the Torah prescribes for the woman that's tameh that drinks from the meisaita. Va'omer alo isha. The kohen now turns to the woman and says, as follows: Im lo yishachat ish oisach, if you're clean, v'im lo yisot yistumatachas yisheich, he didn't do anything to defile your husband, he noki mimei hamorim hamorim ha'ela, then you're going to be fine. You have nothing to worry about. You're going to drink this. It's going to be wonderful. V'ad ki sot yistachas yisheich, if however you did stray, v'chinit meis, and you are tamei, v'yitein ishbach eshchofto imit belade yisheich, and you were with a man other than your husband, v'ishbiya koyin es ishe b'shvoz Allah, then the koyin, again, makes her accept this via a shvua, and What is she accepting? The following Allah. And Allah is a klala. It's a curse. The Omer HaKoyin Le'isha, he tells her, Yitein Hashem Oysoch La'Allah V'Leshvua B'Teich Amech May Hashem curse you. B'Teisa Hashem Es Yirechich Neifeles V'Eis Bitnech Tzoven. Outlines exactly how she's going to die. Ubo Hamayim Ma'orim Me'il B'Me'ayich. This water is going to enter you. It's going to penetrate your stomach. Latzbois Beten V'Lan Pol Yorech. The thighs, right? Remember, the Yerech is Nenachila. That's why it was mentioned first. The Omer HaIsha Amen Amen. She has to accept everything that the kohen said. She says, amen, amen. So the kohen curses her, gives her a klala. Not only does the kohen give her a klala, but he forces her to accept it with a shvua. She swears that she's willing to take upon herself any consequences that are going to come about from drinking this meisaita in the event that she was actually tummy. Says the Torah, and this is the punchline for today's daf, the kohen's going to write all the aforementioned on a sefer, and then he's going to take this water that has in it to offer in the Mayim. He's going to pour it on top of the Sefer. The water is going to erase what's written in the Sefer. The next part of the pasuk, which is not negated today, the Ishko Isa, the Ishko Isa Isha's Me'amorim, he's going to give her now this water to drink. Uvo b'hamayim amorim l'orim, and this is this Nes Niglo that took place in the Beis Hamikdash. If she was Tameh, this water is somehow going to take her down. But either way, the Torah says that it's not enough that he tells her all these things verbally. So the question is, what part of the aforementioned psukim did the Koyin actually write? We'll see in the Mishnah, it's three shitas hatanan. Which part of these psukim mentioned were written? It was four psukim, beginning the Shpia Oysa HaKoyen. It's Perikei, Pasuk Yutes, Chav, Chav Aleph, Chav Beis. Those are the four psukim that discuss the Shvua and the Allah that the Koyen recited verbally to this woman. And then the fifth Pasuk, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Kosev Esa Ola Esa Ela. The question is, what exactly was written? That's the Gemara. Zok the Mishnah, Bolei, Lichtev Esa Megillah. So now the Koyen came to write the Megillah. Incidentally, the Rambam says, a Koyen had to write the Megillah. It couldn't be written with Yisrael. I saw the Mechas Chinuch is Mistopic. What about a Koyen Balmum? Or does the Koyen have to be wearing the big day kahuna? Is it a Hilchas Avoida? There's certain places in Halacha where you find a Koyen had to do it, but not necessarily because it was an Avoida. Maris Nagon is the classic example that had to be done with a Koyen. The Koyen is the one who determines if it's a Nega or if it's not a Nega, but not per se because he's a Koyen and Koyanim do the Avoida. Is this a Hilchas Avoida? It was done in the Makom HaMikdash. So it's different than Maris Nagon. So now the Koyen wrote the Megillah. So what exactly did he write? So the first sheet in the Mishnah is he began from Pasuk Yotes. That's the first of these four psukim that we just mentioned. And he began Mi'im Shachav Ish, etc. He continued to Va'at Kisotis Tachas Ishech. The Enei Koisev, the Shpia Koyin Eso Isha, the Koisev, and then he goes to the following pasuk. He writes Zita Nasha Moisach LaOlo LeShvua Ubo Amayim Amorim Ma'il BeMeiach Litzva Es Bet VeLam Po Yerich. The Enei Koisev Amar Isha Amen Amen. So the first sheet in the Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to say, Shitas Rameir, Stam Mishas Rameir, is that he wrote everything mentioned in those four psukim, with the exception of the words in the Torah that instruct the Koyin what to do and instruct the woman what to do. That's not part of the parsha. The Shpia Oisa Koyin is just telling the Koyin what he's supposed to do. That's not the Shvua. It's not the Olah. The Koyin has to make her swear. What does he make her swear? That's what you're supposed to write in the Psukim. So everything other than the words that are instructing the Koyin and the woman what their part in this is, was supposed to be written. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't like that, because then it comes out, you're writing a little of this pasuk, and then you're skipping a little of the next pasuk. Once you start, you don't stop. So the first pasuk that's even in question, which is pasuk Yotes, which begins with the Shvua, the Shpia Isa HaKoyen, V'Omer Elo Isha. So the beginning of that pasuk you don't have to write, because that's really not relevant. The Shpia Isa HaKoyen, V'Omer Elo Isha is instructing the Koyen what to do. But once you start, in Loi Shachav Ish Oisach, from that point on, Loi HaYamafzik, you continued all the way until the end of those four psukim. Rabbi Yehuda is the third shita, Kolatzmoy Enei Koyseif. No, all you wrote was the actual klolus. Elo Yitin Hashem Oisach La'olo U'Leshvua Uvo Hamayim Hamorim Ma'il B'Meyayich Ve'Enei Koyseif Omra Isha Amin Amin. Rabbi Yehuda is the third shita. Rabbi Yehuda says you only wrote the psukim that deal, or the parts of the psukim that deal directly with the Allah. So, for example, when it says, Yitein Hashem That's obviously something that you're supposed to write. But for example, the part of the pasuk that says, "Im loy shachavish oisach," if you're really pure, "Vim loy satis tumatachas yishech," he naki mi me amorim amorim ma'ila. So that's telling her what's going to happen if you're not tummy. So that's not a klala. That's to the contrary. That's the good news. The good news is that if she didn't do the Avera, then everything is going to be fine. So being that that's not a part of the Klola, there was no reason to write it. And despite the fact, as we'll see in the Gemara, Michal Lavata Shemehen, from the fact that when he tells her, if you're tar, you'll be fine, from that in itself, you can imply a Klola. If you're not tar, you're not going to be fine. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Yehuda says, only the part of the Pasuk that deals directly with the Klola, only that was written. Again, so three shittas in the Mishnah. According to the first shita, that's Rameya Shita, you wrote all four psukim except for the words that instruct the Kohen and the woman what to do. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's the second shita in the Mishnah. You really weren't supposed to write the parts of the Pasuk that instruct the Kohen what to do, like Rameya said, but once you start, Kimet Shehizchel, Layoya Mavsik, you didn't stop. So you leave out the first few words, Vishbi Yossi, Akoyim, Amar, Aloy, and everything else is written. And Rabbi Yehuda, who was mentioned in the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kishem shememayit b'ksav." That's this Rabbi Yehuda. He had the least amount written, the least amount that was ultimately going to be erased. According to Rabbi Yehuda, all you wrote were the actual klolas. So you leave out all the instructions. You even leave out the part of the psukim that describe what's going to happen in the event that she's going to be tar. Says the Gemara behind Kamilflagi, what's the machlokes? Behind Kamilflagi, they're arguing how to understand the pasuk that says that instructs the kohen to write. It says v'kasav es. That's the fifth pasuk in that sequence of psukim. Says the Gemara, Rameir, Sav Rameir says, you're supposed to write Ha Olois So'ela. Olois, Olois Mamish. So Olois teaches me you have to write the Klolis. Ha Olois, Le Rabbis Klolis Abois Machmas Brachis. The hey that's written in front of the word Olois teaches me that not only the actual Klola, but even words that only infer klala, the mechlal lav ata shemeihen. If you're pure, you'll be fine, which implies that if you're not pure, you're not going to be fine. Even that's supposed to be written. How do you know that? From the extra hey. It says, ha'olois ha'ela, ela is a miut, lema'ute klala shed a mishnah Torah. That's coming to exclude that you didn't write the teichacha. There was a havamina that maybe all the klalas mentioned anywhere in the Torah should be written. The Rashash is bothered. Why only the klala shed a mishnah Torah? What about the klala shed a teiras kayanim? The parsha of the teichacha is mentioned twice in the Torah. It's in parsha's bichukai. Say, that's the Klolish of the Teres Kainim. Sefer Vayikra is called Teres Kainim. And the Klolish of the Mishnah Torah, that's Parshas Kitzavai. Sefer Dvorim is called Shabbat Mishnah Torah. So I am Barashash, why the Gemara only mentioned Klolish of the Mishnah Torah. But there was a Havamina that maybe all the Olais that I mentioned anywhere in the Torah, all the curses that Nebuchadnezzar will come upon a person for doing such an Avera should be mentioned. Eila is Lema'ute. And then there's a Hey on Eila. Ha Eila Lema'ute Tzavoi Sekabal Isamin. That all the instructions don't have to be written as well. So according to a mayor, there's two Ribuyim. And there's two miyutim. Ha alois, Allah, and ha Allah, two ribuyim. Eile and ha Eile are two miyutim. Rav Yosi, kula ketigam. Rav Yosi says, I agree with everything you said. However, there's one other word that I darshan. The kasab es ha alois, and the word es is lirabois, tzavois, vikabolois. Now, once you start, you loy mafsik, so that even though there are tzivuyim, in that loy mafsik, you're going to write those as well. V'rameyer, why doesn't he agree with that? Esen le darsh, he didn't darshan esen, right? That's a whole shaila in shas. You do darshan esen, shimon amsuni, how you darish call esen shibatayra, atshubah Rabbi Akiva, so Ramey didn't darshan esen. Rabbi Yehuda, kulu bimiyutu darsh. How does Rabbi Yehuda come up with his shita? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you only wrote the actual Allah, you don't even write words that infer Allah, says the Gemara. He dashes the entire pasuk as being miyutin. Allah is always mamish. Ha Allah is lemute klolis abois machmas brachis. Eile lemute klolis shebemishne Torah. Ha eile lemute tzavois vikabolois. Says the Gemara of Rameyer. Maishno hai hei demar bibei. U maishno hai hei demait bei. According to Rameyer, one hei that's extra in this pasuk he used as a riboy, and the other hei he used as a miut. The hey of ha'olois he used to be marba, the klolois ha'bois machmas brachis, that those were written. And the hey of ha'ele he used lemu'ute tzavois v'kabolois. So how come one hey is a riboy, one hey is a miut? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda used both heys as miutim. One to be mema'it, the klolois ha'bois machmas brachis, and the other one lemu'ute tzavois v'kabolois. But Rameir seems to be inconsistent. One hey that's extra in the pasuk he's using to include, to add as a riboy, and the other one he's using as a miut, and the Gemara gives a very obvious answer, says the Gemara, hey, the gabe de ribuyahi. Hey, the gabe de ribuyahi. Hey, the gabe de miyuta, miyutahi. The hey that's attached to the word Allah, which in itself is a riboy, is a hoysofa on the riboy. Well, maybe more. The hey that's attached to the word Ela, which is in itself a miyut, we use it to be memayet more. Freik the Gemara, v'holesle the Rameir, michlal avata shemeyohen. How could Rameir say that va'at loisotis, the words in the parasha that only infer, that only imply klala, were also written because michlal av atashemeyahen. Isn't Ramei Shita and Shas that you don't say michlal av atashemeyahen? For example, in Hilchas Nadarim, if somebody would say loy chulin this, it's not like you said karbin that or koinim that. It's not chal b'neder because Rameir doesn't hold Michlal Avat HaShemehen. So Rameir L'shitasir doesn't hold Michlal Avat HaShemehen. How come they wrote the Michlal Avat HaShemehen here in the Klolos? Amar Rav Tanchum, Rav Tanchum said that although the literal reference to a klol in this pasuk is only based on michlal avat shemeyahen. However, there is a more literal, more mefurish reference to a klol here as well, because the Torah says that va'at and the word hinoki is miloshen noki, you're going to be pure, you're going to be okay. However, hinoki ksiv. So what is hinoki ksiv? It's not really clear from the Gemara what we mean. So you need Rashi. Hinoki ksiv below yud. It could have said hey yud noki. It just says hey noki. Hinoki, there's no yud between the hey and the nun. The mishtama hinoki emloy shacha fetidresh. Because there's no yud there, the way you read it is tumatachas ishech chinoki. So you find that a hey and a ches sometimes can interchange. And being that you have hey nun kuf, you can make it ches nun kuf. Ches nun kuf is chenek. That's a remnant already to the fact that she's going to die. So although the literal taich of the pasuk is va'at loisotis hinoki, and it's only michal avat shemeyahen that is a klala, but there's also a mefurish klala here as well, because hinoki is chinoki, it's a lashon of chenek, and that's why even Rameir, who doesn't hold michal avat shemeyahen, is going to agree that in this case you're going to write it. Zok to Gemara, a little bit of agadata. Dorish Rabbi Akiva, ish veisha, a man and a woman. Zochu, if they're zoicha, shechina b'nein. You may have heard this at a Sheva Brachas speech once upon a time. If they're zoicha, they have the shechina between them. Loi zochu, if they're not zoicha, ish oich l'san. There's going to be a fire between the two of them. How so? The word ish and the word isha, ish is aleph yud shin, isha is aleph shin hey. The shayrish for both of them is aleph shin, which is ish. The man has an extra yud, and the woman has an extra hey. So between the two of them, you have yud and hey, which is the shem ka, which is the shechina. That's the shem Hashem. If, however, you take out the yud and the hey, you take out the shem ka, what are you left with? You're left with fire. So says the Gemara that Omar, based on that, Dorish of Yakiva, ish ve'isha, a man and a woman, zochu, if they're zoicha, shechina b'nein. Everything's going to be wonderful, they're going to have the shechina. Loi zochu, if however, they're not going to be zoicha, ish oichlason, they're going to be left with fire, and it's going to be bad. Omar, Rava said, udi isha adifa medeish. The woman is going to be more affected by this fire than will the man. How so? Hai mitzarif, hai loy mitzarif. Because the man has the yud in between the aleph and the shin. However, the woman, her extra letter, the hey, is after the aleph and the shin. So she has eish hey. The man has aleph, hefsik, yud, then shin. As a result, Rashi says, eishel isha koshe umimaheris lechov lipara mishalish. She's more vulnerable somehow than the man, whatever exactly that means. But that's this idea, ish v'isha. Now, the way you hear it at a Shavu Brachas is usually in the context of shalom. The husband and the wife, they get along. Shechina, everything is wonderful. If not, then not. But if you look at Rashi, the Pasha Pshan in this Gemara means more than that. What does Zochu mean? If there's Zoicha, Shechina b'neim. Says Rashi, Zochu l'leches b'derech Yeshara. If they go in the Derech Yeshara, Shelo Yehu Noyef. It's talking about in the context of Soita, that if he's a Noyef, or if she's a Noyefes, in that case, they're not going to have Shechina b'neim. So we're not talking about whether they're getting along. We're talking about he's a Noyef and she's a Noyefes. In that case, then there's going to be an Esh. Otherwise, if he's not a Noyef and she's not a Noyefes, then there could be Shechina b'neim. Meaning, whether or not they're promiscuous, that's going to determine whether the Shechina is going to be there. And that's an idea that we saw in the beginning of the Masechta. We had on Daf Gimel on the Beis. The Gemara brought Agadata. The Gemara said, "Betchila, Amar Rav Chizda, Betchila, Kedem Shachatu Yisrael, Heisa Shechina Shoyrim Kol Echad Echad." That when Klai Yisrael, before they did Averis, they had Ashoyis Hashchina. Kiven Shachatu Nis. nostalgia Shechina may have. And we saw the Maratzchiyos and the Netziv, they all spoke out. Wherever it says Stam Aveir in Shas, it always means Niof. That's what it's referring to. So before Klal Yisrael, Wachayte Be'arayos, they had Ashrayos Hashchina. Again, an idea, a theme that you see throughout Chazal, that if people are Godor in Arayos, then they have Shechina, otherwise not. And that's what this Pasha Pshat in Rabbi Akiva's Drasha is, that if there's if he's a noyef and a yefes, that's when the Shem Kod goes away and you're left with Eish. Otherwise, everything is going to be fine. Just tell you one beautiful Rashi tucked away in Parshas Pinchas on this note. Parshas Pinchas, so the Torah over there is mentioning all the different Shvatim. So this Rashi is in Perek Chavav Pasuk Hei. Reuven Bechor Yisrael, Bnei Reuven Chanoich, Mishpachas HaChanoichi. Lefalu mishpachas hapalui, and it goes through all the shvatim and their children in that same vein. Lechetzroin mishpachas hachetzroini, lekarmi mishpachas hakarmi. So Chanoich's family is referred to in the Torah as mishpachas hachanoichi. Falu's family is referred to in the Torah as mishpachas hapalui. Chetzroin's family is hachetzroini. Etc., etc., etc. In other words, when we refer to the family, we add a hey in the beginning of the word. And we had a yud in the end of the word. So Rashi, Mishpachas Hachanoichi, Lafisha Hoya Umais Mevazenoisam, because the nations of the world used to be Mevazah the Shvatim. Va'omrim, and they would say, Ma Elu Mesiachsan al Shifteim. They have Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, as if they've never intermingled in some way. Svurinim, Shaloi Sholtu Amitzriim be Moiseim. They somehow think that the Mitzriim, when they were slaves in Mitzrayim for 210 years, they never violated their wives or their mothers. In Begufam Ayu Moishlim, Madach, they made their gufim work. Certainly they must have taken advantage of their wives. Lefichach, it's for that reason, Hitalak, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shmoy Aleim. Hashem took his name and he put it onto the name of the Shvatim. Hey mitzadzeh, v'yud mitzadzeh. Loimar, meyed ani aleim, shem b'nei avisem. I'm saying, Eidos, that the Mitzrayim never defiled their wives, and fakert, they have a yichos, and mishpachas ruvein. Chet chanoich is mishpachas hachanoichi. The hey on the yud, that's Eidos, that this is really Mishpachas HaChanoich. And Falu is Mishpachas HaPalui. You have the Hey and the Yud, it's saying Eidos, that it's the Hey and the Yud. Which Shem of Hashem is used to say Eidos, that Klal Yisrael were Goder and Arayas? It's the Shem Yud Kei. It's the same Gemara. That it's Ish V'Isho, if he's not a Noyev, and she's not a Nayefes, then they're Zoicha to the Shem Ka. If they're okay, Binyani Arayas, it's the Shem Ka that protects them. I was thinking, why the Shem Ka? So it could be, the Pasuk says, Ki Beka Hashem Surai Lovin. Hashem created the world with the Shem Ka. It's a Gemara Menachis. Hashem created Oil Mabo with the Ois Yud and Oil Mazel with the Ois Hei. But the Shem that Hashem used to create the world is the Shem Ka. So a husband and wife, they get married. What do they want? They want to be a Bay, they want to be Baina. Bayis Nema be Yisrael. If they're Zoicha, Shechina Beineim, the Zoicha to the Shame Ka, that's the shame of Binyin, Binyin Oilomois, the shame of Kibuka Hashem, Tzor Oilom. Either way, we have some more Agada to do. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav, Omipnei Ma'omra Torah, Haba Ofer L'Soita. Why the Torah say take Ofer as part of the Soita? So you have the Mayim Chaim Al Kelly, and you put Ofer inside. Why Ofer? Zochsa, because if this woman is clean, Yoitzin Imen Ben Avram Avinu, she's going to be Zoicha, she's going to have a son, like Avram Avinu, Techsiv Bey, Ofer Ve'efer. Loi Zochsa. So if she's not clean, then she's going to go back, she's going to die, she's going to end up in the offer. So either way, there's going to be a remez to offer. Either she'll have a son like Avram Avinu, Vanoichi, Offer of Efer, or Tachsel Afar. Dorash Rava, Vizchasha, Omer Avram Avinu, Vanoichi, Offer of Efer. It was in the Schad that Avram said, Vanoichi, Offer of Efer, Zachu, Bonov, Lebes, Mitzvahs. That his sons were Zoicha to two mitzvahs. Efer, Para. They got the Parah Aduma, the Ofer Saita. And they got the mitzvah of Ofer Saita. So it sounds like a Medrash Pliya, but it's not. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara right here. It was in the Schar of Ofer the Efer. They got the Efer, the Parah Aduma, and the Ofer Saita. Freita Gemara, Va'ikanami Ofer Kisi Adam. How do you know Ofer, they got Ofer Saita? Maybe they got the Ofer of the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. You take the Ofer, Yimachasa the Adam, says the Gemara, because Hasam Heksha Mitzvah Ikod. Here, all it is a mitzvah. So it doesn't really seem like a Schar. A mitzvah is a Schar. Ratsa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lazaki says Yisrael, Lefika Chirbul Ahem mitzvahs. It seems like all mitzvahs are really schar, but the Gemara says it's not something that's intrinsically schar, because all it really is a mitzvah. But here, these things are not only mitzvahs, they're also inyonim of hana. How so? Rashi says, the suffix saita, who, she's not sure if she's a saita, she's not a saita, if she has children, it could be they'll be mamzerim, could be they won't be mamzerim, she's going to be also to her husband, misafik. The offer saita is what was pushed at the suffix for us. As a result, in addition to it being a mitzvah, there's also an element of schar, and certainly the Efer Parah Aduma was Metayras HaTmeim. So of course that's an element of schar. So when we talk about schar, it makes sense that it wouldn't just be a mitzvah, but it would be something that people benefit from. Those two mitzvahs people benefit from. We benefit from the offer seita, and we also benefit from the efer of the paraduma. So why Klal Yisrael got these two mitzvahs? It was in the schar of Avraham Avinu, who said, Vanoichi offer the efer. It's Yidua from the Beis Halevi, that the Beis Halevi in Parshas Vayera, on that pasuk, Vanoichi offer the efer. So he said, what's the mida keneged mida? Because Avram said, Vanoichi offer the efer, we got these two mitzvahs. So he said that Ofer and Efer both have little value, but they're very different if you think about them. Ofer is something that isn't anything, nor has it ever been anything, but has a lot of potential. You can take Ofer, you can use it to build and create. Great things can come from Ofer. Efer is just the opposite. Efer has no value. It will never be anything. But once upon a time, it could have been something very valuable. Anything could turn into Efer. Wood, more valuable things. Efer represents something that once had chivas, but moving forward has no potential. Ofer is something that, although it does have potential, but it's something that never had any chshivos. Avram was the ultimate anav. He said, "Vanoichi ofer ve'echer. I've never been anything like ofer, and I'll never become anything like efer." That's the ultimate anivos. He's both ofer and he's efer. Says the Beis Halevi, that was the midah keneged midah. They got two mitzvahs. What were the two mitzvahs? Soita and parah aduma. Soita is mevara the suffix of the ofer, of what happened in the past. Was this woman mezana, or was this woman not mezana? The ofer soita is going to be mevara the ofer. That we got mida keneged mida, because Avram said that in the ofer, I was ofer, I've never been anything. Efer of the parah aduma, something that's metaris atmeim mikanu laba, that we got mida keneged mida, because Avram said, vanoichi efer, that although maybe I was something, moving forward I'm not going to be anything, so that's the of the efer, that's the mida keneged mida, echiv gevein garnish, and echvel zayn garnish. Either way, that's the mida keneged mida. It just came to mind, there's a vart from the Vilna Gaon. We had the Gemara in Parsha, in the beginning of the Masechta, so the Gemara about Gaiva, a whole plot or so of Agadah to Gemara. Obviously, Gaiva is a bad thing, Anivus is a good thing, but there was a Machlekes Amayiron, whether Talmud Chacham can or maybe even should have a little bit of Gaiva or not. So one man Damar says, Oshminis Shev Oshminis. So it's Yiduah from the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon said that if you look in the Psukim, Parshas Vayishlach. So Yaakov Avinu said, "Katoyti mikol hachasodim u'mikol ha'emes." See, Vilna Gaon made a cheshbon. He said that Parshas Vayishlach is the eighth parsha in the Torah. Bereishis Noach Lech Vayerech Hayisora Toldos. Help me out. Vayetze Vayishlach. Katoyti is the eighth pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu said, "Katoyti mikol hachasodim." That's Shminis. Shev Shminis. That's a little bit of gaiva that a person's allowed to have. So where do you see gaiva in Katoyti mikol hachasodim? So the Goyen said something brilliant. He said, Yaakov Avinu was zoicha to lot of chesed of Hashem. Yaakov Avinu now could have attributed the chesed to one of two things. Either he could have said, I got all the chesed in my own schos, or I never had any schos since. I didn't get it in my own schos. I must have got it. Schos of this, the schos of my father, the schos of my zeda. That's probably the reason that I got all the schos. Either way, Yaakov Avinu is going to be a shtickle bal gaiva, because right, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. If you say that I got it for my own schosim, oh wow, so chashev Hashem, thank you, oh my gevaldig schosim, you gave me all these wonderful things. Option B is you're going to say, I didn't get it because of my schosim, I got it because of Yitzchak and Avraham, my father and my Zayda, which means then that any schosim that I have, I didn't necessarily lose, because all the chasodim that you did for me, I didn't necessarily get for my own schosim, I got it for someone else. Says the Goyin, Yaakov said, "Katoyti mikol hachasodim mikol emes." That he attributed that all the chesed that he got was for all his own schosim. Meaning, he was acknowledging the fact that he had the schosim that would support the nisim and the chesed that he got from Hashem. Why did he choose that route? Says the Goyin, because it's better to say that Hank binich garnished, even if it means, even if it's at the expense, that once upon a time, maybe I had a little bit of chshivas. Had Yaakov attributed all the chasadim to his father and his Zayda, so it would mean that in the past, maybe he didn't have enough schosim to get everything. But right now, he didn't lose anything either. So any schosim that he put on tefillin in the morning, he gets the chesed. He has the schos of putting on tefillin. Anything that he did do right, that he would have the schusim for. But Yaakov made a cheshbon that it's better for me to have nothing now, even if it means acknowledging that maybe I was something in the past. Says the Gra, that's the shminish of the shminish of gaiva that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have. A Talmud Chacham is allowed to walk around saying, Hain tabich garnish, because all the chasadim that Hashem does for me is all in exchange for my schusim, despite the fact that by doing that you're acknowledging that once upon a time you had schusim. That's something you can do. That's the shminish of the shminish, and that's Merumas over here in the eighth pasuk of Parshas Vayishlach. A little bit more Gemara. Dorish Rava, b'schash Amar Avram Avinu, in Michut Vatzrei Chanal. So we mentioned in the schad that Avram said, Vanoichi Ofer Ve'efer, he was oichat the two mitzvahs, the offer of Soita and the Efer of Par Aduma. So says the Gemara in the schad that Avram said, in Michut Vatzrei Chanal. So after the fight between the kings, the war, the four kings, the five kings, so the Melech Slim goes over to Avram and he says, take, I want to compensate you for everything that you did. So Avram said, I'm not taking anything. Michut, I'm not going to take a chut. Vatzreich now. Vim ekach mikoy lashaloch. V'loy soymar. I don't want you to say, ani hesharti as Avram. And I'm the one. I don't want you to walk around telling people that I'm the one who made Avram wealthy. Thanks, but no thanks. Says the Gemara. This was in the schus of that Avram saying that. Chut vatzreich now. Zachobano lebeit mitzvahs. His sons was zeichet the two mitzvahs. The chut shal cheles. And the Ritzua shelt fill in. So Kenegah, the fact that he said Miyut Chut, he got Chutin. Which Chutin? The Tcheles. And it was in the Schus that he said Tzreich Nal, which is a shoe, which is leather, we got the Ritzua shelt fill. The Chsiv Aro called Ameh Oretz, Kishema, says in my Pishlan, the Ritzua shelt fill in. I understand Ritzua shelt fill in. Why it's considered a Schar. The Gemara just said that Offer Ve'efer, the Offer Soitan, the Efer Par Aduma was considered Schar, because they're not just mitzvahs. They're mitzvahs where there's some Matan Schar Betzida. There's some additional benefit that comes along from it. So I understand the additional benefit that comes along from the mitzvah of tefillin, as the pasuk says, "V'ro kolam yoritz kishem Hashem nikrei lecho." V'tanya, Rabbi Elazar Godolaymer, elu tefillin shabaroish. That in addition to tefillin being a very important mitzvah, but there's an idea when the Umas Ha'olam see a yid wearing his tefillin, he gets afraid. The Mashal says in Maseches Megillah that Mordechai Yotza kinofal pachad Mordechai aleim, that the people in Shushan were afraid of Mordechai. Why were they afraid of him? Because it says Mordechai Yotza betcheles vechor, and the Gemara over there, the Arshans, he walked out wearing his tefillin. They saw Mordechai's tefillin shebarosh, and that's why kinofal pachad Mordechai aleim. It was this idea of elu tefillin shebarosh. So tefillin shebarosh, in addition to it being a mitzvah, there's also a schar. Elochot shal tcheles mahi. What's this additional schar that you get from tcheles? Says the Gemara, the time you learned to the brides. Oh, may used to say, manashtana tcheles mekol mini tzevayinim. Why did Torah pick the color blue? Why tcheles? Why not green? Some other color. Mepnei shat tcheles deim liyam. Because the yam, the sea is blue. The yam deim lirakia. And the yam looks like the rakia, looks like the sky. Virakia deim lakisi hakovet. And the rakia looks like the kisi hakovet. Shenemar vayiru. Ace Elikei Yisrael, V'tachas Raglov, Kemase Livnas HaSaper, U'Ke'etzem HaShemayim L'Toyer. So it refers to the Shemayim as being Kemase Livnas HaSaper. Saper is sapphire, which is blue. V'Ksiv, and the Pasuk says, Kemare Evan Saper Dmus Kise. The Kise HaKovid is blue. So either way, Tcheles, Deim L'Yam, Deim L'Rki, a person sees the Tcheles, he has a Shmira from Avera, there's a special protection that a person is going to get, and that's all Merumis in this idea of Kemare. That's why we chose Tcheles, so that's the Matan Schar Betzida. The Matan Schar Betzida, Tfilin Shabarosh, is Eul Tfilin Shabarosh. V'ro kalam yaretz k'shem Hashem nikrei lecho, and the matan schar betzida of the tcheles is that through tcheles a person is going to be protected from doing averus. That's something that we talked about at length in the Masechet Nedarim daf chof hey, ayin sham. So we had did a lot of raid on this idea that the mitzvah of tzitzit, in addition to being a mitzvah, there's also a special protection. The Rishonim say, "Uri'isa moisa uschartem as kol mitzvahs Hashem v'asisa moisam." And then the Gemara pasuk says, "V'loisa sure achri levavchem v'achri nechem." Now, Pasha, the way you read the pasuk, it's two separate things. Uri'isa moisa uschartem as kol mitzvahs Hashem. Period or kamo. And then afterwards, "V'loisa sure." There's an iser. By the way, "V'loisa sure achri levavchem v'achri nechem." But the Sforim say that there's another way you can read it. The Sforna says it. Number one, by seeing the mitzvahs, you're going to remember it's called mitzvahs Hashem. Additionally, there's going to be a protection. There's going to be a shmira. At the time, we spoke out the Gemara, Masechtas Menachos, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells the story. There was a yid who was very careful in the mitzvah of tzitzis, but he wasn't so careful in other areas in halacha. And he heard about a certain zayna, and he went to visit the zayna. And as he was about to do the avera, he was taking off his tzitzis. His tzitzis hit him in the face, and he fell down, and he ended up not doing the Avera because he fell. And the Gemara says, you see from here, Kamagdela Mitzvah Tzitzis, that the Mitzvah Tzitzis protected this Yid from doing such a terrible Avera. Zokta Keren Oira on that Gemara, Menachis Mem Dalet Amen Aleph, that it wasn't a coincidence that it was the Tzitzis, and it wasn't a coincidence that the Tzitzis saved him from Arayas, because that's the Pasuk. Uriisa Moisa Yuschartem is called Mitzvah Yisashem, Veloisa Suru, Achre Lavavchem, the Achre Nechem, that there's a special Shmiro, Binyani Arayas, when it comes to the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. But either way, another Gemara. Avram said, Michut Vatzrech now, and because of that, he was Eichet to two Mitzvahs, the Chut Shalt Cheles, and the Ritzua Shalt Tfilin. So we're all familiar with the halacha of how you're supposed to put on shoes in the morning. So if you have laces, you put on your right shoe and then your left shoe. You tie your left shoe, and then afterwards you tie your right shoe. It's really a sugya arucha in Chas. It's based on a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Aleph from an Aleph. And the Gemara over there really has a suffix. It's a machlokes. Your right shoe first or your left shoe first? Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says you put your left shoe on first. Why? Says Rabbi Yochanan, kitfilin kach menalin. You put your shoes on the same way you put on tefillin. And just like you put tefillin on your yad keyah, on your weaker hand, who for most people is their left hand, so too you're supposed to put your left shoe on first. So really you would think your right shoe first. Rabbi Yochanan said, kitfilin kach menalin. No, you do it the same way you put on tefillin. Meaning it's supposed to be on your left foot. The halacha is based on the maskan of the Gemara, where the Gemara said, Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, Yorei Shemayim, Yoytzei Deshe. He knows someone who's a Yorei Shemayim, and he figured out a way to be Yoytzei both. Umana, who was that Yorei Shemayim? Mar Brei de Ravino. Hei Chiyavid, what did he do? Sayim the Yemine, Velikati. He'd put on his right shoe, he wouldn't tie it. Visayim the small way, then he'd put on his left shoe, Velikati. And then afterwards, he would tie his right shoe. The question is, what Shaykhis? Rabbi Yochanan said, Kitfilin kach menalim maha kesher between tefillin and yeshus. If you look at the Meiri, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, he says very simple. A person puts on his shoes when? Before he leaves his house. Before you leave your house, negate the race and gas. So you need a little shmira. So what's your shmira? You think of the tefillin. How do you think of your tefillin? You put on your left shoe. Why are you putting your left? Not your right. It'd be more natural to put your right one on first. Oh, you want to remember the idea of the tefillin and the parashas of the tefillin. So it's just a nice indirect way to get a little bit of a shmira before a person leaves. But it's Yidua, the Rabbi Kivegur, as the Goyis and Shulchan Aruch and Simen Beis, brings from a sefer called Emek HaMelech, a Dover Nifla. He says, you know why Rabbi Yochanan said, Kitfilin kach menalim, because the Gemara says in Masechta Soita, Daf Yizayin Menalim, and this Gemara is another year's Ishas as well, that why were the Yidin Zoicha to the mitzvah of Tfilin? It was because Avram Avinu said, Mi chut v'atzreich nal. What's atzreich nal? That's your shoe. Oh, it's midah kenegin midah. Because Avram said tzreich nal, that you were Zoicha to the mitzvah of Tfilin. So there's a connection then between your shoes, your shoelaces, and your Tfilin. It's for that reason that we say, Kitfilin kach menalim, that you put on your, at least tie your left shoe first, and then afterwards you're right. One hoysofa on this, and that's Rameh Simcha in Meshech Chachma, Ofenor in Parshas Vayera, he says it could be the reason that we put on tfalos and tefillin by Shachris, and not by Mincha, and not by Meirav. What's the reason for it? Why do you put it on Dafka by Shachris? Zok, Rameh Simcha, it could be, it's because who is Mesakin Shachris? Avram Avinu. And it's Bischar Sha'omer Avram, Michut Vatzreich Nal, that we were Zoichet to these mitzvahs, so it's for that reason that we do it by Shachris, we don't do it by Mincha. We mentioned the Tcheles, so obviously Tcheles is something that we could talk a lot about. It's also something that's becoming more and more popular. This tchelos, that tchelos, you do it tchelos, and your talus cut, and your talus gadol, your wife does let, she doesn't let. I've heard all the different svaras. But either way, so the bottom line is, the origin of tchelos, so obviously once upon a time, Klal Yisrael had tchelos, and then tchelos got lost for many years, and it made a comeback in the late 19th century, early 20th century, with the Rizina Rebbe. The Rizina Rebbe claimed to have discovered the tchelos, and he was very confident that he had the tchelos, to the point that he went around showing it to all the gedolim. He wanted them to sign up, because if they would support it, and they would give their haskamis, then naturally it was something that would take off. And there's a lot of anecdotes that involve the Balatcheles, as he was known, the Rizina Rebbe's rounds and his encounters with the different Gedali Yisrael as he was trying to sell it. The Velt says that when he came to the Chafetz Chaim and he asked the Chafetz Chaim, would you support this movement? Would you endorse the Tcheles like this? Everybody would start wearing Tcheles. The Velt says the Chafetz Chaim told him, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Sound like a political way of just not getting involved. When he went to the Beis Halevi told him, the patriarch of the Briska dynasty, and if there's no Mesoira, it's not something something we're going to do. The Velt says that when he came to Rabbi Shula Kutna, so he asked him what to do. So he told him, if the Velt will do it, he'll also do it. So they say that the Baal Tchelis ran to the window and he saw a Vasatrega, a water carrier that was walking by. And he calls him over. He says, Rabbi Yid Vasatrega, Kimdoahe. So he comes to the window. He says, Chomitz Mishay Shoyz Ulamaila, Aser or Mutter? He looked at him like, what are you talking about? So he turns to Rabbi Shula Kutna. He says, I don't understand. The Gemara says, Chomitz Mishay Shoyz Ulamaila, Kula Alma Maidi, everyone, the ganze Welt holds us, Aser. Says, that Vasatrega doesn't know. Says, the Teretz is that when we talk about the Welt, we mean the Rabbanim, we mean the people that sit and learn. You want to know if the Welt does it? If you'll do it, if the Gedolim will do it, then the Welt will do it. They asked Rav Chaim once, he says, why don't you wear Tchelis Misafik? It's a Safik Deiraisa Lechumra. At the very least, so we're not sure. It is the Tchelis, this Tchelis, that Tchelis. But at least Misafik. Tchelis is a mitzvah deraisa. There's no question it's a mitzvah deraisa. So why not misafik ali, safik deraisa lechumra, don't we wear tchelis? So Rav Chaim said, alum this. Rav Chaim said, when do you say safik deraisa lechumra? That's if when you go lechumra, you're for sure being mekayim the deraisa. So I'm not sure. I do have to say kriyashma. I don't have to say kriyashma. It's a safik deraisa. I'll say kriyashma. Like this, I for sure was yoytze my deraisa. That's how every safik deraisa works. Over here, Rav Chaim said, even if you put on the tchelis, it could be you're not being mekayim the mitzvah tchelis. You don't say Safik Deiraisa L'chumra then. A beautiful lamdas. Safik Deiraisa L'chumra is only when you're vadai going to be Yoytze Deiraisa if you're going to do it. But if even afterwards it's Kulei Hai V'ulai, then you don't say Safik Deiraisa L'chumra. Zok the Mishnah. Ein Koisev Lo Yalo Luach. So when the Koyin wrote the parasha of the Saita, you couldn't write it on a luach. V'lo Yalo Niyar, that's a certain type of parchment. V'lo Yalo Diftara, that's also a certain type of parchment. Elo Alha Megillah. It had to be written on a scroll. Shenemar Basefer. It says, because of additionally, you couldn't use those types of dyes. And now with any means that's going to leave a roshim, meaning it's not erasable. Because you had to be able to erase the water. And although this whole process is really happening al derech nes, but I guess this is along the lines of we're trying to be memayit b'nes, and as a result, that's the way it's supposed to. We have one more minute. Oh my rova, Megillah said that was written at night. It's possible. My timer. As your Torah. We learn from Gzeir Shabbat. Ksivah says over here, "Va'osulak koinas kolat Torah zoyis." It refers to the parsha of Ksivah Soita as Torah. V'Ksiv Hasam, and it says somewhere else in the context of Mishpat. Al pi Torah sheyerucha va'al haMishpat ma Mishpat bayoyim. Just like Mishpat happens during the day. It has to happen during the day. Bezin didn't convene at night. Af Megillah Soita bayoyim. So to Megillah Soita has to be during the day as well. Kosvul Mafreya. Psula. If it was written backwards, it's possible. The chsiv, the kosav es ha'olois ha'ela. Ha'ela means the way it's written in the Torah. Ki dechsiva, the way it's written, you can't write it backwards. Kosva kodesh the Kabbalah shvua. If the parish of Saita was written before she took upon herself the shvua, psula. Shenemar the hishbia va'acha kach v'kosav. And afterwards it says v'kosav. Kosva igeres. If it was written like a letter, what does like a letter mean? Dr. Ashi, there were no lines. There was no sirtut. More about this tomorrow. Psula, it's going to be puzzle. Besefa amar achman, it has to be written the way a sefer Torah is written. And just like in a sefer Torah, there are lines that are written underneath the words. So too, this sefer had to be written with lines underneath the word.